that's coming up. Let's take a deep breath and say word. Word. Okay, let's try that one more time. One, two, three, say word. Pens.
Lesson plan.
Let's turn to 2 Samuel. Oh, one more announcement. My bad. We have a ministry here called Security Ministry. And the reason y'all can sit here safely on Sunday night is because Homeland Security, Rock Security, is keeping you safe. There are people who come here on a weekly basis with evil intent, and we would like to beef up our security ministry. We need 60 people to sign up today, and we can get it all from this service, I'm sure. Especially, not necessarily, but especially if you're in law enforcement, military, been arrested, just got out of jail, we would love for you to... if you did just get out of jail, for reals, we are very happy you are here. We pray you stay here. We love you very much, and this is your home, so we welcome you. But, amen, let's give those people a hand, amen. Matter of fact, if you are a really bad sinner, we are glad you are here. If you are a hypocrite, if you're a jerk, an idiot, this is the place to be, right here. If you are perfect, we need to worship you. Please make yourself known so we can bow down at your feet. Okay? So if you want to be in the ministry, security ministry, when you go out to the lobby, go to the left. That, because you're facing me, it's to your right. When you turn around, it'll be to your left. You go out to the lobby, make a left, and there'll be people over here at the left side of the lobby by the cafeteria for the security ministry. Just ask a bunch of people, and they'll get it, and we'll sign you up and get you going. Amen? If you are a parent and you are a married couple, we would love to do married couples in Pebbles, where you can be security with mom and dad together, or husband and wife, or maybe you're just dating, and you can go in there together, and you don't have any kids. It'll be a good warm-up for you. Huh? Any visitors here from out of town? Just a few. Let's do a few. Huh? San Francisco. Do y'all live here now? No, just visiting? It's your first time? No. Anybody else? Italy. Ciao, ciao bello, ciao barare. Where's the Italy person? Who's from Italy? Did you just lie to me? Who's from Italy? Where's the Italy person? Oh, man, they just dogged me out. Where? Oh, down in the bottom. How, you speak Italian, I'm sure. Of course. How do you say hello? Ciao. Hey, ciao. Hey. How do you say Jesus is Lord? Yeah, sorry, I can't hear you, but ciao. How many languages do you speak? 10? One. You don't speak English? You can't understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? You don't understand? A little bit? Okay. Indiana? Oh, you here? We're here for the Colts game? Yeah. You're in San Diego. The hat. Did someone tell you it was going to be cold? Are you cold? Yeah, are you cold? Oh, I got you. We appreciate that. Appreciate that. Your family are Colts fans? Yeah, the Colts are good. They're good. Yeah, they weren't good enough yesterday, but that was all right. Sorry. And that's what he said. I'm just repeating what he said. That's what he said. Yes. Sweden. Do you speak English? Yes. How many languages do you speak? Swedish, English, and a little bit of German. How many of y'all speak a little bit of English? I wish I grew up where I could have multi languages. Is that wrong? Multi-languages? Anybody else? Visitor? Yes? Honduras. You speak Spanish? English? That's it. That's just two? That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Yes. Dallas. What's up with your Cowboys, man? They got just dysfunctional family, man. Anyway. Yes. Oakland. Welcome. Oh, Raiders. It's okay, man. Are you a Raider fan? Of course. Okay. It's all right. You got family in here. A few, but just there's some. Are you with them? How are y'all related? You know? Aren't you the queen? Do you know her about her queenhood? Her airness? You knew her before that? Has she changed? Has she gone? You know, she just like Miss Thang now? A little bit. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. San Antonio. Very good. Welcome. Yes. Pittsburgh. Oh, do we play Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I didn't get the. So they won, obviously. Who they beat? Oh, they had a bye. So we play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Yeah,
I know. It's on, girlfriend. You better pray it's cold. Are you going to be home next week? Are you live here now? Pittsburgh. Who's your favorite player in Pittsburgh? Hines Ward. Who, nobody? You don't even watch football, do you? You don't? You don't watch football? It's okay. It's okay. Just messing with you. Anybody else? Yes. Huh? Oh, Ensenada. I'm looking at this lady upstairs. Okay, Ensenada, I hear you. And who's up there? Huh? Oh, Brazil. Oi. Brazil, how are you? How many languages do you speak? Three, what are they? French?
No, Spanish.
Oh, Spanish. Portuguese and English?
Spanish.
That's one. That's two. Very good. Very good. Very good. Okay. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24. Second Samuel 24. Is college back in school or the school's not open yet? Huh? Oh, thank goodness. Okay. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being good to us. And we pray that you would encourage us today and bless us. And we pray we can be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I told you many times that I have two brothers and two sisters. My mother had five children in 6 years. And we got spankings regularly. That's why I turned out to be such a great young man. How many of y'all got spankings growing up? Okay. Child Protective Services. We don't want to show any. Be careful. How many of y'all got soap in your mouth? Ivory was the bomb, right? We had to stand in line outside the bathroom. My mother would be sitting in the bathroom, and we would go in one at a time to get whatever we were going to get, whether it be soap or my parents had a few assortment of punishment techniques. They had, you know, electric shock. You go in, zzzzit. They had Chinese water torture would just drip on your head for like 4 days straight. And so they had all the stuff, you know, putting bamboo on your fingernails. So we would stand and we could hear one of the brothers and sisters in the room, you know, lights would start blinking in the house because they were just getting, it's like Rambo up in there. So huh? I'm sorry? Name a good one what? Oh, am I lying? Oh, I'm completely exaggerating about the electricity. I mean, come on. Did y'all know that? Yeah, but no, we did have to stand in line, and we did get soap in our mouth, and we did get whooped. That's a good one right there. I mean, they don't get any basic, then bam. But what I would do if I knew it was coming, because sometimes you didn't know it was coming. Sometimes you would do something, and like a half hour later, matter of fact, I did something to my brother. I couldn't remember what it was. Oh, he was running around the living room, kitchen, running around the living room, kitchen, and I kind of... I opened the door to the refrigerator and, and he, bam, ran into it. So he went running into the house. And I knew I was going to get a whooping. So I just stood there frozen. And my father could come this way or this way. And I just stood there. And I remember, next thing I know, I looked and bam. So I didn't have time to kind of do what I'm getting ready to tell you. I did sometimes what I would do if I got in trouble. I would tell my father, I messed up and I'm punishing myself. I'm going into my room and I'm not going to eat any food for like 3 days. I'm going to be on lockdown. And I would walk, okay? In the story we're going to look at, David has an opportunity to punish himself. He is going to sin, and God is going to give him three options of his punishment that he can choose from. So you can have one, two, or three. Now, the reason that he is going to have this punishment is because God told him to take a census, and something went wrong between the time he got the order and the time he did it. We'll look at that in a minute. But the point is, once he realized that he sinned, he made a full-hearted, full-fledged confession, one upon which God built something eternally good. If you confess to God in a very thorough, spiritual, humble way, God can take that confession and turn it into something really good. If you don't confess good, and you don't confess in a spiritual, humble way, you may experience no difference in your life. As a matter of fact, God may not even forgive you because you really didn't repent. He may say, you know what, I know I heard you say it, but you really didn't mean it. And there are a lot of times people say, well, I confess, you should forgive me. And I say, no, you didn't. You gave me an excuse why you did it. You never really confessed. And so what you want to do is have a deep confession, the type we're going to talk about today. And if you do that, God can do something and build on that something really big and of eternal value. But you have to really repent and you have to really confess. So let's read the story. Chapter 24, verse 1. It says, again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them and said, go number Israel and Judah. So the king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, now go throughout Israel, the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and count the people that I may know the number of them. Everyone say Dan. Say Beersheba. Dan was in the north and Beersheba was in the south. And he says, I want you to go to the north, to the south, and number all the people. And by the way, the river Jordan, came down from Dan. So Jordan means down from Dan. That's where the Jordan River came from. Okay? And so he says, I want you to number people from north to south. Verse 3. Joab said to the king, now may the Lord your God add to the number of 100 times more than they are, and may the eyes of my lord the king see it, but why does the Lord my king desire this thing? Now, they took censuses. They took a census all the time. Moses took a census to number the people so he could tax them. God told him to do that. Joshua took a census in the book of Numbers. Actually, Moses did. In the beginning of the book of Numbers, then they walked 40 years through the book of Numbers, and at the end, when all the people they counted died, they had to take another census. So they knew how many people they had, how many people could fight in the army. So taking a census was not a bad thing, but something happened with David. Because we're going to see in a minute that when he took the census that it appears God told him to take, that he sinned. Look at verse 10. Took 9 months and 20 days. And then it says in verse 10, David's heart condemned him after he numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Now, in 1 Chronicles, which is three books back from after this book, this same story is recorded, and it says that the devil told David to number the people. There's a lot of theories on why both the accounts, one tells God and one tells Satan. It could have been both. There are times when God is going to tell you to do something, and undoubtedly the devil will come right behind what God tells you to do and tell you how to do it. In other words, God may tell you, I want you to go over there, and someone lied to you or someone offended you. You need to go talk to them about it, okay? And as soon as you hear that, which, by the way, is a biblical thing to do and something you should do, the devil comes and says, but before you do that, I want you to go tell all your friends what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and I want you to talk all this trash. And then go confront that person. And then when you not only did you just sin, then you confront that person with a bad attitude because all these people told you all the stuff you should say and you never really do what God told you to do. Anytime God tells you to do something, you do not have the freedom to do it any way you want to do it. And matter of fact, you can even have someone come tell you, I'm trying to help you out, but in the process, they are tearing you down because they did it wrong. And so you want to make sure that you understand, even though you could obey God, you can disobey God in the process. God creates, and the devil perverts the creation. God directs, and the devil misdirects. He is always there to pervert and destroy what God is trying to do. And so God tells him to take a census. And for some reason, he sinned, and there's nothing wrong with numbering the people, but what probably happened was his intent of numbering people was wrong. In other words, instead of saying, look at all these people I got, and now I can have an army or I can collect this much taxes, it was all about, look how big my kingdom is. Look how important I am. That's where the sin was. Look at verse 11. David arose in the morning. The word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, and he said, go tell David, thus says the Lord, I offer three things. Choose one of them for yourself that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and told him, and he said, shall 7 years of famine come in the land, or shall you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you, or shall there be 3 days plague in the land? Now consider and see whatever I should take back to him who sent me. So the prophet comes and tells David, David, you can have one of these three punishments. Your enemies can pursue you, you can have famine, or you can have plague. Which one do you want? That's real good choices. David said in verse 14, I am in great distress. In other words, that's jacked up. And then he says, please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. Number one in your notes, a good confession. Just ask God himself to be the one who punishes you according to his mercy. You want to go to God and you want to tell God, God, I'm wrong. You don't want to say, God, I'm wrong, but here's why I did it. God, I'm wrong, but you know my heart. God, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Someone once told me, repentance has no defense. You do not want to defend yourself when you repent. You are wrong if you are wrong, and that is it. And if you can go to God and say, God, I am wrong, I sinned, I'm sorry, I was an idiot, or whatever it is, and you just leave it at that, God can work with that. But if you have all these excuses and all these reasons, all these justifications, God's like, are you repenting or are you explaining? Are you telling me why you did it or are you just admitting you did it? The first step is to really go to God and just, or whoever you repent to, and just flat out admit you were wrong. And don't try to justify it. Just admit it. How many of y'all do not know who Fonzie is? How many of y'all know who Fonzie is? You know the Fonzie, okay. Hey, Fonzie was Henry Winkler. What a name for a cool guy. Winkler. I'm sorry? And he's what? No, I understand. I'm trying to think. That's okay. He can still be cool and be dyslexic, though. I don't understand the reverb. Okay, there we go. He's dyslexic. I didn't know that. Fonzie was so cool, he couldn't say he was wrong. So in the show, Happy Days, if he was ever wrong, which he was, he would say, I was wrong. I was wrong. But he couldn't say, I was wrong. On the count of three, I want all you to say, I am wrong. One, three. Let's do it again. One, three.
I am wrong.
If you can learn to say that, you will be liberated. But if you feel like you have to be right all the time and justify what you do all the time, you're going to be in a heap of trouble. If you can go, you know what? I'm sorry, I was wrong. Wow. God can work with that. Number two. Ask God to show you the consequences of your sin. Ask God to show you the consequences of your sin. Verse 15. The Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning until the appointed time. From Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men died. And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel, "It is enough, restrain your hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel. Say, saw the angel. Who was striking the people. Surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, these people, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. You have no idea how things you've said and done, and this applies to all of us in this room. You have no idea how the things you said and done have hurt other people and the ripple effect of how it rippled through other people. Some of those things you can never avoid because people read into what you do or they'll blow it up, especially when they start telling other people. So I'm not saying you can ever avoid it, but there are some things you can avoid. And a vast majority of it, we don't know. If you ask God, God, I really want to understand how wrong I was, how off base I was. Show me, because I really don't want to do it again. Tony Dungy has, I think, five kids, four or five, and one of them is 8 years old, and he has a condition called congenital insensitivity to pain anhidrosis, which means he cannot feel pain. He can break and has broken bones and didn't feel it. He goes and when they're making cookies, he will open the oven and with his bare hands take out the pan, burn his hands, put the pan and eat the cookies hot and burn his tongue. He dives in the pool, he dives on the grass, and he dives on the concrete. It's all the same to him because he can't feel it. Can't feel it. He's 8 years old. He's been to the hospital, done a lot of things to him. He is... One in every 125 million people have this condition. There's like three people in the United States that have it. And this is his son he adopted. He found this out when he was a little baby. He had circumcision, and he just looked at the doctor like, what? And he's like, you know, doctor was like, I'm scared of you. He didn't feel it. He didn't feel it. They didn't. But the condition is so rare, they didn't know what it was. And so because he can't feel pain, there are boundaries he will not stay away from because there's no consequence in the physical. But the other reason, the other consequence of not being able to feel pain is that he doesn't understand the pain he can inflict on somebody else. So when he's wrestling with his friends, he can dislocate his arms, pull a muscle. He don't feel it. And so he's jacking these kids up, and they're screaming. He's like, what are you screaming about? I don't feel nothing. He's just jacking them up. And then I know some of you probably would love to not know you were hurt, but if you didn't know you were hurt, you wouldn't know to heal yourself. And you also wouldn't know how you hurt somebody else. Pain is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. Jesus, when he came, One of the reasons he came as a man was that he could, so he could experience pain in the same way we do and yet fight through it to continue to obey God, so he could sympathize with us. The Bible says we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us. He's been tempted in every way we have, and yet he was without sin. And so when he came into a body, he never experienced that before. And he experienced rejection, he experienced backstabbing, and he obeyed God perfectly through his pain, died and rose from the dead. So when you go to him, he understands. So when you say, Jesus, my friend did this to me, he goes, I understand what that's like. Someone punched me in the head. Oh, I understand what that's like. Someone told a lie about me, denied me, betrayed me. He goes, I got it. I know. And guess what? Here's how I dealt with it. Let me teach you how to deal with it. And just the same thing Jesus did for us, we can do for other people. So you need to ask God, God, tell me how is that person hurting because of me? Because if you understand how that person's hurting because of you, guess what? You will rethink how you respond in your repentance. David saw it. He understood it. Number three in your notes. Make a meaningful sacrifice to thank God for his forgiveness. A meaningful sacrifice. Verse 18. Gad came that day to David and said, go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. A threshing floor was like if you go to Mount Soledad and the cross is on top of the hill, imagine that being flat and it's always breezy up there because it's elevated, and they would have a plateau up on a hill, and they would take their wheat up on the hill and throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow away the chaff or the stuff that wasn't the kernels. And then they were left with just the kernels. So this guy was up there on his threshing floor, and David was going to buy it and erect an altar there to God to worship God and ask for forgiveness and thank him for his forgiveness. Verse 21. Ornan said, why has the Lord, the king, come to his servant? And David said, to buy your threshing floor from you. Everyone say, buy. And to build an altar to the Lord that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. And Ornan said to David, let my Lord, the king, take and offer whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice, the threshing implements, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king, Ornan has given to the king. And Ornan said to the king, may the Lord God accept you. And the king said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it from you. Say, buy. I will buy you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings. And listen to this part. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. You do not want to offer God, as part of your confession, you do not want to offer God something that costs you nothing. Doesn't mean you go buy something. It means it costs you something in your heart, in your flesh, in your pride. For example, go tell that person you are sorry to their face one-on-one in a humble way and don't explain anything. Don't start justifying it. Just go say, excuse me, I am sorry. That'll cost you something. Cost your pride. Also, I want you to change your behavior. I don't want you to do this anymore. I don't want you to, and I'm not saying having a beer on Friday night is a sin or not. It's definitely not smoking weed. But God may tell you, I don't want you doing that anymore. Because when you do it, you say stuff you shouldn't say, and your friends who are not Christian are looking at you saying, if that's how a Christian acts, I don't want to be a Christian. So I don't want you to do that. That's between you and God. It has nothing to do with anybody else. And by the way, when God tells you to do something, don't start comparing yourself to other people. Just do what God tells you to do. And so when you repent, you want to say, God, I am sorry I did that. What do I need to do different? What do I need to sacrifice so I don't do that again? That is repentance. Give something up that means something to you, that is relevant to you changing, because if you don't change, you're going to do it again. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again the same way, expecting a different result. You say, Lord, I don't want to do it again, so tell me what I have to change. Tell me what I have to sacrifice. And if it's something that's really dear to me, I got to let it go. Because nothing should be so important to you, you're not going to let it go in order to be more holy. And so David said, I can't take that for free. I can't go to God and say, God, I'm giving this sacrifice to you that I got for free. No, I'm giving this to you because I bought it. I'm giving something up. This was not free to me. When Israel, in the Old Testament, when they had the Passover lamb, they had to get the most loved lamb, 1 year old, and they would have it live in their house for 4 days, and they would take care of it and love it, and then they would kill it and eat it. It was something that was dear to them. When Jesus Christ came as a lamb that was slain, he was God's son. He loved him. It was a sacrifice for us. And so they had to give something that was precious. They weren't supposed to go in the back and get a diseased lamb with a broke leg and psoriasis and fleas and eczema. Can't even go back. It goes back, 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 and it comes walking out like this. There you go, God. There's my sacrifice. No, you want to give God something that is valuable because you want to show to God, I value our relationship. And this is very important to me. If you say to God, on the other hand, yeah, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. You know, no big deal. I know you're going to forgive me and you don't make any changes. You know what God's going to say? I don't think you really mean it. And so, no, we're not cool yet. Your sin is still on you. We still got a problem. Our relationship is still, because you really haven't repented. But if you go to the person and say, listen, I'm sorry, and you say, God, what do you want me to, what do I need to change? And by the way, pain, one of the many benefits of pain is that it teaches you change behavior. Put your hand in the stove. Oh, it hurts? Don't put your hand in the stove. Go out with a guy you don't do a background check on and get your heart broke? Oh, don't go out with a guy you don't do a background check on. Oh, and do background checks. Y'all know that, right? You go, all his girlfriends, and by the way, there's she-devils too, so fellas, you meet a girl, do a background check. Go to the guys and, you know, what's she all about, blah, 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 and you interview. You make sure it's all cool before you start jumping in. And if you don't do that and you get burned and you don't do that again and you get burned, that's on you. That's on you. And so if you keep doing wrong behavior, you keep getting hurt, one day you're going to wake up that God gave you that pain to warn you to stay away. Good thing. And so God is saying to you, if you want to repent and really change, I want you to give up something that's going to cost you something. So right here, sitting here today, God is saying to you, you need to give something up. Some of y'all need to give up your friends. Some of your friends. Because some of y'all got no good friends. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And everybody sitting next to you going, is he talking about me? And you know what? You need to give them up. You need to give them up. There is a saying that the best indicator of future performance is past experience. And if you look at people who have just dogged their other friends out, they haven't been good friends, they haven't been good teammates, they haven't been good employees, they're probably going to do it again unless something happened to change them. You want to make sure that that thing happened or you're setting yourself up for the same thing they've done. But that applies to you too. If you look yourself in the mirror and you say, I'm not going to do it again, the next question is, how do you know? You got to give God something that's going to cost you. You say, God, I'm giving you my pride. I'm giving you my anger. I'm giving you my selfishness. I'm giving you my envy. I'm giving it to you, and I'm no longer going to do this. And I'm going to get accountability partners. I'm going to limit myself freedom. I'm going to give someone else freedom to ask me hard questions, and I'm going to answer those questions, and I'm going to be honest with them. But I don't want to do that again. And if you can repent and confess like that, God can do number four. You can expect an eternal value from a good confession. Eternal value. David bought the land, he built the altar, and if you're writing notes, write down 2 Chronicles, which is four books after where you're at, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, we learn that David's son, Solomon, everyone say Solomon. Say Solomon. Say Solomon, Solomon, Solomon. Solomon built the temple on the property that David bought in 2 Samuel 24. He bought the threshing floor. He built the altar. God forgave him. The plague stopped. He owned it. And that piece of land is what Solomon built the temple on. And by the way, if you go to Israel today, or you don't have to go, just look on the news or Google it. Matter of fact, Google Earth this location. The Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock. Google Earth it and go look at it today, and you're going to see a gold dome. It's an Islamic mosque on the Temple Mount in Israel, which is this piece of land. It's the same piece of land they're going to build. They built a temple on it, got destroyed. They're going to build it again. It's the same piece of land that Moses sacrificed Isaac, or was going to sacrifice Isaac. And if, and you also see that the wall, the Wailing Wall, where you see the Jews standing at the wall praying at rock, that is the base of it. That wall goes up, and right on top of that is the land. That's the piece of land David bought to give a sacrifice to God when he sinned. That's what Jesus is going to rule from. If you can say, God, I want to sacrifice, I want to confess my sin, and I'm giving myself to you, whatever you want to do. If you can be that temple, God can do something amazing in your life. Until you do that, you're just kind of playing a game, the Christian religion game, which many people are going to lose because you're going to die and go to heaven, or you're going to die and face God, and God's going to say, eh, you know, I wasn't really down with that game you were playing. I know you went to church a lot, but you really weren't. It wasn't here. But if you say to God, God, I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Say amen if you're wrong. We're wrong. I'm wrong. Forgive me. And what do you want? What do you want? When I got saved, April 12th, 1984, I've been doing cocaine a year and a half, haven't smoked marijuana for 8 years up to that point. And I finally, and up to that point, I said, I'm going to stop 100 times. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Man, okay. I'm going to stop. I don't know what y'all are talking about, but I'm not going to ask. I'm going to stop. And on that day, I hit rock bottom. And I said, okay, this is it. And God said, now I can deal with that confession. And on that day, my girlfriend at the time and I got together. She's now my wife. And everything good in my life came from that confession. God built something eternal on that confession. If you can make a confession today, say, God, and by the way, y'all are Christians. I'm talking to as well. You're a Christian, but your life is still not what it's supposed to be. You're still holding on to stuff. Let it go. God has another level for you. But you have to let it go. You can't just think it's just going to happen just because you come sit in church all the time. You have to let it go and say, God, I'm ready to take the next level, but it's got to start here where I really, really confess. I really, really just say I'm wrong. Not because I'm wrong. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you so much for David and his story, and even including in the Bible the bad things he did, because they were true. And you are about truth. And Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to you. I pray that you would speak to people today. They need to just admit they're wrong. They know it. You know it. They know you know it. They're not fooling anybody but themselves. You know God loves you. If he didn't, you would be dead. He would have done away with you a long time ago. He's given you another chance to repent. So if you would like to confess a confession that God can build on, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, please forgive me. I am wrong. I've been wrong. I'm selfish, self-centered. I apologize. Please take from me whatever you need to take so I don't do it again. Please make whatever change in my heart you need to make. I'm sorry. Jesus, be my Savior, my real Lord, my Master, my God. Holy Spirit, Espiritu Santo, fill my heart. May my body be a temple within which you live. I surrender my life to you, God. I'm not holding anything back. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. As all of our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand, and by standing you are acknowledging that you're giving up. You're not fighting God anymore. And you want to follow him. Just stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just stand up. God bless you. Stay standing good. God bless you. Stand to your feet if you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, today is my